From high above all other primitively incompetent forms of Wyoming mainstream media, this is Cowboy State Politics. I, of course, am your illustrious host, David Iverson, broadcasting to you from the base of the Bighorns in beautiful Buffalo, Wyoming. If you thought the race for the United States House of Representatives couldn't get any more confusing, you'd be wrong. It's beginning to look a little bit like an afternoon with Barnum and Bailey. I'm not suggesting that this is a bit like the clown car rolling around the center ring, but there are a lot of people packed in there. In fact, we've got one more, and it appears it's Sheridan County Senator Beau Biteman. Now, he hasn't officially declared, like all of the others in this race, but he did have a meeting with President Trump last week, which is a pretty good indication that he's seriously considering running for the House of Representatives. I mean, why else would you meet with the former president if you weren't seriously considering a run for that office? What makes number 9 in this race the more interesting is he's a relatively quiet member of the Wyoming State Senate. You really don't hear that much about him. He was, however, the main sponsor of Senate File 145. That was the election runoff bill, which got a little bit of acclaim from Donald Trump Jr. Why wouldn't it? If it were to pass, it would seriously damage Liz Cheney's chances of retaining her seat. At this rate, though, I'll probably be the only person in Wyoming not running for the United States House of Representatives. Today I've got a great show for you. We've got a couple of other items in Wyoming news that we need to hit, and then I've got a fascinating interview with poet Alisa Palzer, who's got a new book out. It's a fascinating interview that I know that you're going to enjoy. But before we get rolling, a little egregious self-promotion. You can listen to the podcast on any of your favorite podcasting apps. iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn, really any of them will work. But the easiest way is just to go to the website, cowboystatepolitics.com. There you can find all of the shows as well as any of the articles that I might bring up during the course of a program. If your name is Sleepy Joe Biden and you don't know anything, well, then you can go to cowboystatepolitics.com, pull up an article, and educate yourself. I've added a new sponsorship tab on the website to highlight those companies or groups that help make Cowboy State Politics what it is and keeps this program rolling. Our newest advertiser is the Wing It Food Truck. Good news! They're finally up and rolling, and this upcoming week they'll be in the Bighorn Basin. So if you want to find those delicious hot wings, here's where you can find them. On Monday, August 9th, they'll be in Thermopolis from 5 to 7. On Tuesday, they'll be in Grable from 11 to 2 and in Powell from 4 to 7. Wednesday in Lovell, Thursday in Lander, Wyoming, and Riverton, Wyoming. Friday, they'll be in Worland, and on Saturday, they'll be at the Thermopolis Demolition Derby. I've got their whole schedule posted on that sponsorship tab on the website, so you can go check that out and find out exactly where they'll be all week. If your group's or company's values line up with those of Cowboy State Politics and you'd like to advertise on the program, go ahead and shoot me an email. The address is david@cowboystatepolitics.com. Go ahead and send me a message, and I'd love to get that conversation started with you. Okay, Senator Beau Biteman. Aside from being relatively quiet in the Wyoming State Senate, he was also the co-sponsor, or the main sponsor, of Senate Joint Resolution 2. That was the Convention of States bill. Yeah, he's one of those body snatchers types. Now, I've tried several times to get him on the program to talk about that bill and debate it on the program, but he's yet to return any of our phone calls. Now, if you're a longtime listener of the program, you know that I am adamantly opposed to any Article 5 convention, and we've done several episodes why that's a really, really horrible idea. So it's sort of interesting that one of the guys that's in favor of this Convention of States got a meeting with President Trump. Other than that, Senator Biteman is a pretty solid conservative vote in the Wyoming State Senate. One other detail about the good senator is he's all over all of these crooked land swaps that are happening with the state of Wyoming. What am I referring to? Well, there's all this really nice hunting property that's up close to the mountain. One of these is going on in Sheridan right now. And some wealthy landowners want to trade that prime hunting habitat for some worthless sagebrush out east of town. And Beau Biteman's been all over that, trying to prevent the State Lands Commission from making that trade. What ends up happening with these things is the public loses access to prime hunting habitat or prime habitat for sportsmen, and it gets traded for worthless pieces of ground that are nothing more than sagebrush. It works out great for the person who trades the land and gets all that prime habitat, but it works out real crappy for Wyoming citizens when what they get in return is a junky piece of sagebrush. Just a couple of tidbits about the newest guy that wants to run against Liz Cheney, or who is apparently going to run against Liz Cheney. It's hard to keep up with all of these people. I mean, there's so many of them in the race. But as you all know, I'll eventually get him on the program so we can hear from him why he wants to run against Liz Cheney, if he wants to run against Liz Cheney. A couple of other Wyoming tidbits before we get to today's guest. The Wyoming Highway Patrol deserves your thanks. They made a traffic stop on I-80 where they seized 24 pounds of fentanyl. From the Red Star, in an article entitled "Troopers Seize 24 Pounds of Fentanyl During Wyoming Traffic Stop," published August 3rd, quote, "The Wyoming Highway Patrol troopers found 24 pounds of fentanyl during a traffic stop last week in Laramie County. The drugs have an estimated street value of roughly $150 million, according to the Highway Patrol. Troopers found the fentanyl on July 27th, after stopping a 2021 Hyundai Kona for speeding on I-80 east of Cheyenne. The driver gave troopers inconsistent and implausible travel plans, arousing their suspicions," the Highway Patrol reported. "That prompted troopers to use a police dog, which alerted to an odor. That prompted a search of the vehicle, which turned up the fentanyl," end quote. So if you run into a highway patrolman, you should probably thank them. That was a lot of fentanyl, and it could have killed a lot of people. One more piece of perfunctory news, also from the Red Star, Casper Star Tribune. New 307 Politics reporter Victoria Evis writes in an article entitled, "Does Wyoming Have a Hate Crimes Law? It depends on who you ask." And I quote, "At the core of the debate is Wyoming Statute 69102, which holds that no person shall be denied the right to life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, or the necessities of life because of race, color, sex, creed, or national origin. Violating the statute is a misdemeanor with a maximum sentence of 6 months, a fine of no more than $750, or both. The ACLU of Wyoming considers that statute to be Wyoming's hate crime law," said Antonio Serrano, the organization's advocacy manager. "What Wyoming needs to do," he explained, "is look beyond the legislation and address the root cause of the issue," end quote. Now, this might lead you to believe that our new reporter is unbiased. Not so fast, though. Let's go to the end of the article. Quote, "But Wyoming's hate crime law, in parentheses, or lack thereof, is just one rung on the ladder. Addressing hate violence is vital, and hate crime laws serve an important purpose. Like any law, hate crime laws alone won't fix a problem as large as rising hate violence, which is why we need to improve our hate crime laws and engage in broader solutions to reduce hate in our country," end quote. Enough of this drivel. Don't be misled. Equality is branded into the state of Wyoming. In the Wyoming Constitution, Article 1, Section 2 is entitled "Equality of All," quote, "In their inherent right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, all members of the human race are equal." Section 3, quote, "Since equality in the enjoyment of natural and civil rights is only made sure through political equality, the laws of this state affecting the political rights and privileges of its citizens shall be without distinction of race, color, sex, or any circumstance or condition whatsoever, other than individual incompetency or unworthiness duly ascertained by a court of competent jurisdiction," end quote. Don't be misled. So when you hear people like Representative Dan Zwanitzer say stupid stuff like this, quote, "I do not feel the committee fully realizes how other Americans continue to see Wyoming, and by not having some kind of bias-motivated crime statute, it continues that perception." Barf. It's just another attempt to try to get special rights for groups that already have rights guaranteed to them by the Wyoming Constitution. And being a representative of the Wyoming legislature, he ought to know that those rights exist. He's just trying to get more special treatment for special groups when what they need to do is look at the Wyoming Constitution and realize that every single citizen in the state of Wyoming, regardless of who they are equal, and he should know that. It's absolutely intellectually dishonest in every single way, and don't let him or the Red Star try to pull the wool over your eyes. All right, moving on, our interview with Alisa Palzer. Now, this is something a little bit different on the program. We don't normally interview authors or poets, but it's a new book, and I kind of like it, so I thought you might enjoy hearing from her. I tried something a little bit different with this interview. I recently acquired some new equipment for Cowboy State Politics, so we were able to do the interview outside. I really think that you can tell a difference in the audio, but in any case, here is our conversation with Alisa Palzer. I'm joined today by Alisa Palzer. Alisa is a new author. Well, actually, she's not a new author, but she has a new book out. It's called Ancient Eyes in Adolescent Faces. And it's a book of poetry that she's been composing for pretty much her whole life. So welcome to Cowboy State Politics, Alisa.
Thank you.
A good place to start, always, and I start this way with all of my guests, is why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us who you are and enlighten us.
Okay. Well, I am Alisa Palzer, and I grew up in Sheridan and moved to Buffalo my eighth grade year. My dad was the head tech, x-ray tech in Sheridan, and then transferred to Buffalo here. And I've been here, aside from a stint in Nebraska from meeting my husband in college and us starting our married life in Nebraska, and we came back in 2002, I guess it was, and have been here ever since, raised our kids here. And I have two kids. My daughter just graduated from the high school this last year, and she's heading off to East Tennessee State University in about a month. And our son is 16. He's going to be a junior, and I'm looking at the pool right now. I was kind of hoping he was going to be here so I could scout out his lifeguarding skills, but he's away at church camp this week.
Right on. So ETSU.
Yes.
So she's going to school in Johnson City?
Yes.
I actually lived there for a while.
Oh, you did?
I did.
Oh.
That was part of that dubious adventure moving away from Buffalo.
Well, this could be interesting.
Sure. So tell us about your book.
Okay. This book is kind of as a result from a larger project that I started a number of years ago. I was writing a book kind of about my life. I grew up kind of differently, grew up really fast, spent my entire life in like church schools, and from when we moved to Buffalo the next year, I went to high school at a boarding academy in Bozeman, Montana, and so I just kind of have a different outlook on things and kind of grew up differently than a lot of people, and I always have been just a old soul, feel very deeply, think very deeply, and I've written poems my entire life. I never really thought much of doing a book, but I was actually talking with a publisher on my other book, kind of the more biography, and in the process of that, he asked about how many poems that I do have, because I did have some to accentuate different portions of my story, and he said that, you know, poetry is doing very well. And if I had more to kind of put it all together and see what I had. And mm-hmm. So I did that and just went back into all the old journals and writings and found that I have about 150 poems and writings.
Wow.
That ended up in the book.
Cool.
Itself. And it spans, my subtitle is just a collection of poetry through the book of life, because I look at everybody's lives as a book. We have different chapters.
For sure.
Some in Virginia, some in, you know, in Wyoming, Nebraska, whatever. And along with that, different stages of our life, whether it's, you know, a period or a season of grief, season of adolescence angst, I like to call it, and, you know, different things like that, seasons of joy. And I really found that through the span of my entire life, that a lot of these poems that I found really kind of harness and encapsulate what everybody goes through at different times in our life. And that's what I love about poetry, is I'm kind of finding out that I may not have to tell all the details of my story, mm-hmm. but through poems and things like that, it explains very well some of the things that I was going through. And we all share human experiences.
You mentioned that you were also writing a biography. Which is more accurate about your life, your book of poetry, or is it your biography?
Both. That's the cool thing that I like about this book of poetry, is it is totally me. And some people will know exactly what I'm talking about in specific poems, and others not so much. I love the way that this kind of transpired, because I was able to also put in favorite photographs maybe that I've taken over the years that mm-hmm. that kind of accentuate what I'm talking about in the poems. It's just really totally me. It has like some of my drawings and things like that as well in it. And it's just kind of a really interesting little snapshot, I think, into, yeah, all things me.
Well, we say all the time that art emulates life. And there's a lot going on, not only in our country, but also in our community. You can't turn anywhere without seeing the ballot issue that's coming up, for example, that's coming up this next month. But art has a way of transcending what is happening in the real world. So my question is, when you sit down to write a poem, is it more about describing what's happening in your life, or is it trying to look beyond what the events that are happening are, and seeing beyond them? Which is it?
That's a really good question. It is a little of both. I do have, you know, through high school poems and things like that, like just going through the process of maturing and growing up and that as well. But especially I have a section that I start off with, which is adulthood. And I have some, I'll just explain one, like it's called Humanity Away From His Plan, The Hopeless Damned. And I'm actually talking about like BLM and...
Why don't you read it?
Okay. One thing you should know, like I really feel, I love looking at both sides of every issue. And I'm a closed captioner, so I hear, you know, news stories from across the country, maybe New York, St. Louis, you know, to San Fran. And I've been just struck over the last while, 15 years at least, where, yeah, the duality in explanation of what's happening is kind of across the board. And so I'm finding a lot of my more recent writings is one side and then the other. And this is an example of that. So it's called Humanity From His Plan, The Hopeless Damned. Shattered hearts in violence, worried voices in silence, mistakes made on both sides, maybe innocent but didn't comply. Could have killed any family on the road, but now a hero as the story is told. An impossible job now vilified. Justice demanded as the nation cries. So many bleeding tears of rage, trapped inside a gilded cage. Taser, flash, and dark of night, but who can say which side was right? An ended life far too soon, also behind bars consumed. Too easy it is to lose a life, whichever side, when Satan divides. We all are one, yet the gap is wide. White or black, we're all red inside. Away from God's intended plan, we find ourselves the hopeless damned.
Huh, profound.
We'll get back to our guest here in just a second, but first, an obscene profit timeout. Today's program is brought to you by Morton Building's Lessons in Classic Values. Lesson number 3, stability. We in the Cowboy State value stability. Our values are as rock solid as we are stubborn.
Our time-honored traditions have stood the test of time since before Wyoming was a state. One of those traditions is our reverence for our livestock, horses, cows, sheep, and pigs alike. And while they can't converse with you, they too value stability. Stability in what you might call their house. But while some of us have been shoring up the rest of our traditions and making sure they're stable, we have allowed the houses belonging to our livestock to fall into disrepair. Clearly, this is not in line with our state's values. If you fall into this category, you should really give Nick and Jesse at Morton Buildings a call. You can reach them at 307-674-2532. They're the experts in construction of metal buildings. Morton Buildings is the very definition of stability. In fact, you've probably seen much of their work while driving around the cowboy estate and not even known it, because their buildings stand the test of time. They do their work better than anybody else around, and they've definitely been doing it longer than anybody else around. So, to get in line with our state's values of stability, you should give Nick and Jesse a call. Call them at 307-674-2532, or you can check them out on their website at mortonbuildings.com. This has been Morton Buildings Lessons in Classic Values. And now, back to the program. So do you, looking at your book, is it more of a collection of poems on one particular subject, or do you find that you kind of run the gamut of all sorts of different things?
I run the gamut not only of just growing up. I have, you know, from childhood through, like I said, through high school, writings from college. I have some journal entries to my kids that I wrote to them.
Cool.
And just a lot of, like, just kind of packed with wisdom, little nuggets of things that I've learned that I wanted to pass on to them. So it does span across everything. A lot. I do have some where I dream really intensely.
Okay.
Like I can like feel, and they say you can't see colors in dreams, and I can. I can hear it. I can see it. I can smell things sometimes in my dreams. And so some of the things, some of the poems have been a result of waking up in, and my emotions are in that dream. And some of it is pretty tough subjects.
For sure.
I've had to, over the years, I've learned that if I sit down and I write it out, then I can actually purge myself of that and kind of come back to reality in my own head.
Right.
And so some poems are as a result of that and dealing with some really hard things. Others are like that. Like, I'll just be bothered about something, or I'll be reading my Bible or reading something, and I just have this feeling that I'm just trapped in for a while until I sit down, and it's amazing. It's like songwriters or anything like that, I guess, that it just kind of bubbles out, and it's, I guess the best way to describe it is it's like this internal feeling that just has to get out, and it comes out in the form of words and rhythm.
Well, if you look at literature throughout not just American history but all literature, what be it poetry or prose,
yeah,
or drama, it's really a commentary on the human experience.
Right.
You know, one poet I tend to gravitate towards, and this probably explains my personality, but I really like Rudyard Kipling.
Oh.
I really like his bravado in his writing, and that he's unafraid.
Right.
So when you sit down to write a poem, do you try to confront your own personal fears, or is that something that comes through in your writing?
It probably comes through. Most of it, I never intended for these to be seen by people, which is crazy to me. But the way that this book came about, I have a very deep system of faith, and I am not one to be behind the microphone. I am actually very private.
Except for today.
I know. This is all very new territory for me. It's not something that I've ever been comfortable with. However, I believe very deeply that you know, God is in charge of our lives.
Amen to that.
And the cool thing about believing in Him is that, yeah, He wants us in being uncomfortable, because
absolutely,
it drives us to our knees as mm-hmm. where we should be. And the way that this book came about, it literally happened within, I don't know, I think I sent the email to have it looked at by the publisher, and within 5 minutes I had a response.
Wow.
Email response. So to me, that told me that if this is what God wants me to do, mm-hmm. I'm going to step out of that comfort zone, and I'm going to trust that it's what He wants. And with that, it kind of frees up my own getting out of my head and worrying about saying the right thing or doing the right thing. So
let's read another poem here. Well, okay. You can read another one of your poems.
Well, I have maybe two more, depending on what you... But I just wanted to read... It's called Roots. And my family, my dad's family is from Tensleep, kind of by the Knowwood. And it's about 25 miles south, I guess, of Tensleep. Mm-hmm. And there's just red bluffs everywhere.
Yep.
The most beautiful country in the entire state, I think. And we had some pasture land on top of the mountain, mm-hmm. like way about an hour and a half. If you go Hazelton Road and just go mm-hmm. for a good hour and a half, like
down towards Bear Trap.
And... Yes. Yeah. Past Bear Trap, actually. There's some family land there. And the last couple of years I've been kind of helping, going up there and helping my dad and family with their place. And this poem just kind of came as a result of looking over the basin.
Okay.
It's called Roots. Every mile closer, energy blossoms beneath, the calling of the ancients to the land of the bequeathed. How many eyes have seen it, beheld the beauty pristine? How many have walked these sunken trails and splashed within its streams? The soil itself is calling to blood from long ago. They came to tame and work it, honor the bones from far below. We pay homage to those before us and to those who come along, the souls of those who traveled over trails of sage and song. The energy of the wind and sage spurs each seed to love. The circle complete, our souls breathe deep, this land ordained from above.
I love it. That's awesome.
Thank you. Thank you.
We, our cabin, we also have a cabin on Hazelton.
Yeah.
When I was little, we would leave the cabin. Really, it's... as a crow flies, it's not that far from the Hazelton cabin. So we would leave the cabin and we'd go to the Rome Hill Road.
Yes.
And then we'd go down to Tensleep to Dirty Sally's
and have
an ice cream.
Oh, yeah.
And then turn around and come back to the cabin.
They still have amazing ice cream.
So if there's one thing that you want readers to take away from your book, of poetry, what is it?
That's a good question. No, I think it's just, we do have so much division now, and I'm realizing more and more that, you know, at the end of all of it, and the beginning of it, we all share so much. We all feel the same, you know, we cry the same, we celebrate the same, and, I just wish, I wish that people would realize that we are more alike than we're divided.
I don't think I could have said it any better. The history of our country, and it's not unlike, you know, other countries, but our republic was set up to be raucous. It was never intended that we should all just get along.
Right.
If you look at the time at which the Constitution was written,
yeah,
you had two factions that were vying for control. And really, there was only one person alive at that time who could bring order mm-hmm. to the Constitutional Convention, and that was General Washington.
Right.
So it's kind of a misnomer mm-hmm. to look at events as they're happening today and say that, well, we shouldn't have division.
Right.
Because, I mean, that exists. Right. The only way that you come to a solution is by having two opposing sides. But like you said, the important part is to remember that we all put our pants on one leg at a time.
Absolutely.
At least I would hope so.
Yeah.
Some of us don't get them
the right
direction.
I think we've lost that.
Yeah.
We've lost that. We've lost respect for one another and our own, opinions. And
sure.
That's what I find so disturbing.
Well, and I think that most of the time, is one of those things that we can use to bring us together.
Celebrate together. Exactly.
Sure. And the commentary in your book probably leans one direction or another on any given page. The truth is that it is one of those things that transcends current events and, to some degree, transcends politics.
Yes. Yes.
So, what do you want to leave listeners with after our discussion today?
I guess just exactly what you said, that, you know, we are going to have differences of opinion, but I truly believe that there's a lot that we can come together on, that we can celebrate together on, that we can respect one another in those differences. That would be my main hope and prayer. And to me, as I said before, I think only believing in God for me can get me there. You know,
absolutely.
Well,
why don't we end it with one more poem?
One more poem. So this is about God.
Excellent.
And I wrote this as a result of watching news and being disgusted with what I've seen. So I think it's appropriate. It's called Awake. The dawn of the enlightened, supposed knowledge infused. Or is it cries of the frightened and all those morally confused? Seeing God reduced to self, an age-old snare of sin, as if I could acquit myself, blood redeemed from within? As in the days of Noah are fast upon us now, the affliction of the dilemma to which entity to bow. It makes me sick and solemn, the evil of this age. I find myself in disrepair, overcome by how the vile elites are portrayed. The days of punishment are coming, the days of reckoning at hand. God is vengeful and is stirring noble justice for his land. The ancient God of long ago is crying out to all. The flames of the inferno will be the corruptor's downfall. Why reject the one who longs to bless? Turn our backs and contend to be God. Our rebellion is not only sinful but senseless. Wake up, come back to God. 'Tis through the power of the faith that we project, though meek, we become strong. For God will never forsake nor reject those to him that belong. O God, hear us cry out to the triune. Answer us, expose all secret fraud. As on Mount Carmel by your fire consume, we will once again proclaim the Lord, he is God. By our anguish we share in his holiness, or so through us he can shine. Sometimes misery comes through discipline to bring forth harvest from the divine. No matter the righteous reason, we suffer from heavy load. For during the difficult seasons, we share in his glorious, just abode. Oh, who is wise and discerning? Let us realize and understand. Break the chains that knowledge is offering. The righteous will rejoice in the promised land.
I love it.
Thank you.
Awesome. So the other thing that we can all come together on is capitalism. And on Cowboy State Politics, we're all about free markets and capitalism. So if our listeners want to get a copy of your book, where do they find it at?
All right. Well, I just got them in my hands yesterday. They were supposed to be here weeks ago. But I do have some in my possession now. I have more coming, as I'm almost sold out already from my book release. So that's great news. I I have an order form that I can send people. I have a website, and that's alisadp.com, alisadp.com. I'm also on Facebook as well, and I have those order forms. I am going to do, I guess, book signings kind of around here and hopefully around the state in future. And I also will have them when I get more in. I'll you know, see if I can have some in the local haunts and prescription shop and the Occidental and museum and places like that.
And we'll put a couple links on cowboystatepolitics.com. So if you want to get a copy of Alisa's book, you can go to the website and you can purchase one right from there, or at least find out how to get a copy of it.
Yeah. Well, do the order form.
Thank you very much for taking the time to visit with us, and good luck with your book.
Thank you very much.
Especially now, we tend to think that all things are political. And while it might seem that way, that's not really the case. There's a lot more to life than just politics. And I know that's something for me to say, since this whole program is about politics. But it's true. A lot of times we need to take a step back and realize there's more to life than just the political. That's why I wanted to interview Alisa, and I hope that you enjoyed it. We'll talk again on Weekend Update on Saturday. But for now, from the base of the Bighorns in beautiful Buffalo, Wyoming, I'm David Iverson, and this is Cowboy State Politics.